have a special guest tonight. His name is John Ruskin. He is the author of Emotional Clearing. He wrote this book back in 1993, and it was self-published, which I'm familiar with self-publishing work. And he just recently had the book published by Random House back in January of this year in hardcover. And so, John?
Hi, Victoria.
Hi, John. How are you?
Great. It's great to be here.
Good, good. And thank you for being on my show. It's very much a pleasure to have you as a guest. I personally, benefited from reading your book about a year and a half ago myself. And so that was, a lot of the inspiration for having you on the show, because I feel I always want to pass along experiences and knowledge that I personally have had that I think other people would benefit from.
Yeah, that's the best way.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got established in writing this book and what you did before that, and how was this inspired?
Well, I was on the spiritual path, so-called, for many years, starting, I guess, way back in the late 60s, and was pretty much devoted to practice. And for me, spiritual practice mostly centered around my yoga practice, meditation, doing yoga postures, breathing, learning the philosophy, and just trying to lead a so-called life that would, result in releasing karma, advancing spiritually on the path, trying to make a contribution, or trying to see what might be behind the superficial appearances of life generally. But it's really, really strange. I guess after maybe 20 years on the path, I took a good look at myself and realized that I was still experiencing a lot of negative emotions, so-called, a lot of anger, a lot of loneliness, a lot of things that I had expected that I would probably have gotten rid of back when I started out with a reasonable meditation practice. Not that I was a fanatic about it, but I felt that I was pretty well devoted to it. And so I thought that something was missing in my approach. I needed to work on these feelings, whereas previously I was really trying to jump to what we think of as a spiritual place, which is a peaceful, blissful, loving place of higher consciousness. That's where I wanted to get to in the worst way. And in trying to get there, I finally realized that I was really neglecting these other parts of myself, mostly because I didn't really know how to work with them. They were never really addressed in the information that I had received on the spiritual path up to that point. How to work with these feelings, how to work with, all these negative feelings. And the implication was that they would fade away as you became a more evolved person, but they didn't seem to do that. And so something more seemed required. And that's when I really got into exploring what that other might be. And went into a renaissance of spiritual growth. This is about, I guess, in the late 80s now. And just went to a whole deeper level with what the spiritual practice is, what meditation is, how to integrate that with the goals of Western psychotherapy and psychology in general, which is usually oriented towards working with feelings. Psychology has always recognized that there's a suppressed body of feelings that we carry that contributes to our overall emotional dysfunction and even physical poor health that we have. These trapped feelings, this trapped emotional energy, this negativity that we can't release keeps building up and eventually manifests in the physical, manifests in our emotional. We start acting it out unconsciously. It affects us in all kinds of ways that we don't really understand. Colors our perceptions, makes us see things that aren't really there, makes us react irrationally and even destructively much of the time to certain situations and relationships. So The assumption has always been that we need to release those feelings to clear ourselves and to come to a balanced emotional and mental place. But I saw where a lot of the tools of the East and a lot of the philosophy of the East could be very helpful for making Western psychotherapy really work. And when I put this together, for me it was like a light bulb had gone on. And I thought that I finally understood how to work on myself. You know, that's what I thought I had basically figured out. And that, the shock of that, I say shock, but it was such an incredible experience for me. It was such a milestone in my life that I thought I should probably write a book about this. And it's the first book I ever wrote. I've never really worked as a writer, except I've been an artist much of my life, which is a similar kind of orientation of going inside and creating. So maybe that's why I was able to bring the book out without too much trouble. So,
well, one would never know after reading the book that it was a first book. It was, I felt, very, very well written and very clear and very easy to comprehend.
Thank you.
And why do you believe that people resist their emotions and their feelings?
You know, there's a lot of associated understanding that has to come along before you can really answer that question. But basically, we resist our feelings because they're painful. And that seems to be a pretty reasonable...
We do anything to avoid pain.
Yeah, that seems pretty reasonable on the surface. Who wants painful experiences, or who wants painful feelings? We've been trained more or less, especially in our Western society, we've been trained to avoid pain and go for the glitter, you know. What we don't really understand, it's in a way instinctive to resist pain, and we normally want to do that just to protect ourselves. It's, you know, of course important to resist pain on the physical level or to be safe, but we extend that to our emotional experience where different rules apply. And what we don't really understand is that when we resist a negative feeling because we just don't want to experience it, what happens is that feeling becomes suppressed instead of just going away. It doesn't go away. It gets trapped and held in our subconscious and must be contended with it at some point. And until we release the feeling, it just keeps building in our subconscious, and that's what makes us basically feel unhealthy, feel dysfunctional, feel like we can't cope, feel depressed especially. Depression, for me, is the condition of a large amount of suppressed feelings.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely.
And the way to work with depression is basically to start addressing those suppressed feelings and start releasing them.
Yeah, I'd also add to that, too. Would you say it's true that other people become uncomfortable in the presence of other people's feelings? And so, you know, we live in a society that says, oh, don't cry, don't worry, don't, you know, it's okay. And, you know, they're always telling people to stop crying or to stop showing their emotions.
Yes. Yeah, it's a general conditioning that we have to just move away from negative feelings instead of understanding how to work with them productively, and that's what my book is about, basically.
So going into more about the suppression, you mentioned that that is what leads people to become addicted to, this addiction period. Would you elaborate a little bit on how that comes about?
Yeah, if you want to understand addiction in a broader sense as being compulsive about all the different things that we get compulsive about, whether it's just achievement or security or money, or whether we have sexual compulsiveness or food compulsions or love compulsions, the compulsion to be heard, these are all types of addictions that are equally dangerous as what we normally think of as chemical-dependent compulsions. Compulsions basically arise because when we suppress the negative, we wind up with this blind, compulsive need to chase after the positive to try to satisfy the negative. For example, if we have a lot of insecurity, a lot of fear comes up. So we're driven to satisfy that insecurity by chasing after what we think will satisfy it. For example, maybe it's money. So we become compulsive about money. So an addiction forms. We become addicted to all these different forms of acting out, which can include the chemical acting out as well.
That makes a lot of sense. So really one of the best ways to deal with a person's addiction would be to help them to clear some of these stored emotions that they've been suppressing.
Absolutely, and I heard your information about smoking on the break, and it definitely suppresses feelings, so along with the whole list of other kinds of activities that we indulge in without even thinking. But all these suppressive activities, all they do is serve to keep the emotions in the subconscious. They do nothing to really release the feelings, and the emotions just keep building, and that's when we start having problems with them. So once we learn that we have to confront these feelings in some way to release them, then we're on the path to emotional clearing, and that's when we start applying all the concepts in the book and start moving into an actual experience of emotional clearing, which can be actually a very soothing kind of thing. It doesn't have to be as difficult as people might think just from the discussion so far, even though you're definitely approaching and integrating parts of yourself that you may previously have shut off and cut yourself off from. You're doing it in a very safe and relaxed way. In fact, my favorite way of doing it is moving into what I call the alpha state, which I see as being very similar to hypnosis. It's that relaxed alpha place where healing more or less occurs naturally, where you start accessing the subconscious more easily. And once you go into that very relaxed place, you then start accessing all these feelings at that point. And it's a very safe and relaxed way to do it. And you start bringing these feelings into consciousness. And it's the very act of bringing them into awareness and experiencing them that constitutes the releasing. There's been a lot of what I think is confusion in the psychological world about expressing feelings and experiencing feelings. Previously, it's more or less been generally thought that expressing a feeling is the means to release suppressed feelings. But I believe we're moving into an understanding now which recognizes that expressing a feeling is not really the antidote to suppressing a feeling or to keeping a feeling suppressed. I see it as experiencing the feeling. We need to experience these feelings to release them, and that's what makes the release happen.
You know, I find many people are ashamed of their feelings. I keep boxes and boxes and boxes of tissues in my office, and that should be a pretty good indication that it's okay to shed these tears.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I find people constantly apologizing for, you know, I'm so sorry, I don't mean to do this, and da da da. It's like, no, this is exactly what you know, you're here to do.
Right.
So,
yeah, that's just part of the general conditioning of our society that we need to address.
So, you know, and I'd like to kind of go one step further about the suppression of the emotions and leading on the addictions. I had a gentleman in my office yesterday that, you know, we were talking about possibly working with him on his cancer, because I've worked with some people on, you know, in that area. And, you know, I happen to believe, and there's been studies that have been shown that, you know, hypnosis and hypnotherapy have been beneficial for working with cancer. And I am also so bold to believe that we create our own cancer, we create our own disease, and that, you know, this is probably from those old held emotions in our body.
Well, generally, I would agree with that. I do often say that I believe these suppressed feelings, all this suppressed negativity just keeps building up in the psychic body until the certain point where it starts finally manifesting in the physical. And when it does that, we call it disease.
Mm-hmm. Just in the body.
Yeah, yeah. And even though we may try to combat on the physical level disease, I believe the roots, where it's really originating from, it stems from the emotional, or at least the psychic. There's some kind of tie between psychic and emotional that we may not still quite understand, but as we start working with feelings and moving into emotions and releasing on that level, you start to see a lot of spontaneous changes occurring in the body, where the body gets better. It may start even releasing more negativity for a short period, just coinciding with the releasing in general, where it's getting rid of. And then it moves into a period of wholeness.
I would say it's kind of like, a drug addict maybe going through withdrawal. I mean, you've been holding on.
Yes.
You've been holding these emotions down by doing something, and you're letting them out. And so it's kind of like you're maybe experiencing them more because you're releasing, you're letting go.
But, we should emphasize that it's really it's a wonderful experience when this happens, because you really feel like something has been lifted, And when we say you need to experience your feelings, what we need to emphasize there is that the way I advocate doing it, whether it's on your own, which I describe in my book, or whether you're working with a therapist who's familiar with these techniques, is you're doing it in a very safe way, relaxed way, and you're just witnessing yourself, witnessing these feelings in a detached way almost, which does a lot to make it almost a transcendent kind of experience. You're no longer enmeshed in the feelings, and that's why they're painful, because not only are we suppressing the feeling, but we're identified and completely enmeshed in the feeling. As we start to learn to work on ourselves, we learn to become slightly detached, to go to this witnessing place while we are in the relaxed alpha state. And so we're just witnessing feelings, and it's surprising how short a time is really required once you finally sit down and just be with a feeling that you've been resisting and rejecting yourself about and blaming other people for all your life, maybe. And you just finally sit down, and this is after, it takes a little while to get to the point where you've got the understanding down of what you need to do. And that's the purpose of the book. When you get to that point where you understand what it means to experience a feeling, how it's nothing that's really impossible or threatening or something that you wouldn't want to do, how it really contributes to your growth, and how it makes you really feel liberated and wonderful after the releasing happens. It's like that's what growth is, psychological and spiritual growth. It's not some kind of pseudo growth where you're trying to talk yourself into being spiritual or being happy or being a generous or a kind person or being this or that, corresponding to any kind of concept you may have in your mind. You experience the releasing inside you, and it changes you. And not only does it change you, but this is another important point that we haven't even discussed yet. All these feelings that we carry around, not only do they contribute to our poor emotional and mental health, but, and this is where it ties in very importantly to the Eastern philosophy, this feeling energy is very instrumental in attracting our experience to us.
Oh, yeah.
This is a very interesting part of the whole work, which really astounded me when I first got into it. When I finally realized that the whole concept of karma in the East is very closely based on this same idea, that we attract events to us based on the energy that we're holding within. And taking that to an emotional understanding, I believe that the purpose of attracting these events is in order to bring up the corresponding feelings for clearing. Because we've been negligent about working on those feelings ourselves, life brings us these events in order to bring up those feelings. In psychology, it's called compulsive repetition, where we keep attracting the same event, the same kind of person, over and over. It could be an abusive person. That's the traditional example. What's the purpose of that? It's because that person is serving to bring up those feelings from within that we're carrying inside for clearing. And if we can only use that opportunity to work with those feelings when they come up, we can make very important steps in actually changing our life.
You know, what you're saying kind of very much rings true for my experience, and it's something that Harville Hendricks had kind of alluded to in finding your Imago partner, where you, this is a person that you're highly charged attracted to. I mean, you just have a high charge attraction to that person because your subconscious mind knows there's work to do. And that charge, that attraction is like the glue that keeps you together. Is that, I mean, would you kind of say that?
Yeah, definitely. There's a couple different levels that I think he relates attraction occurs on. In some ways, you're attracted to whatever is undeveloped in yourself. You see that in the other person. So in order to become whole, you want to become attracted to that. But also, the other person works on you to bring up your unfinished business. And normally that happens after the relationship has been established for a few months or even a few years. The honeymoon period is over, and this second phase come in, and that's when people generally start to think about getting out of it instead of using the relationship and digging into working seriously on what's coming up for them, taking responsibility for it instead of blaming the other person as we usually do. It's not an easy step. And, you know, I'm not saying it is easy, but it's certainly important. And if you're going to grow as a person, these are the kinds of things I've seen that you need to move into.
Well, I think once people realize what the purpose of relationship is really for growth, you know, if people realize that, then they're going to be less inclined to get out of the one that they're in because, you know, the only reason, I guess, I mean, why would a person end the relationship? I mean, what would be a legitimate, valid reason for ending a relationship with someone?
You mean, even if they had the understanding of a relationship is to be used for personal growth? Okay. Well, that's a good question. A lot of people throw in the hat when often one partner will be able to come to an understanding of this and try to use the relationship for growth, but the other partner remains unconscious.
Right. Yeah, I would say that, the most, you know, the closest that I felt with myself is in those moments where I've just been with feelings that I'm experiencing because, I mean, that's the highest truth. And you're really, really being in the moment because, like you had mentioned in your book about you know, thinking and feeling, our thoughts are either, if we're thinking, we're in the past or we're somewhere in the future. And so, I mean...
Yeah, usually we're wrapped up in our thoughts and we have to... Some training may be helpful in order to come to a place where we can optimally process feelings. Normally, people are into their thoughts, they're into their minds, and we generally have not a very deep relationship with our feeling selves, which is generally related to what we call the right brain in our society. It's that feeling place as contrasted with the left brain, the logical side, the thinking side. So most of us are in that thinking side, and when we start to direct our attention to feelings, we think about our feelings. We fall into the trap of thinking about our feelings instead of really feeling the feelings. So we need to usually cultivate the capacity for feeling, and it may be something that's completely new to us. Actually, I think it really is a matter of developing the capacity for feeling as an important part of this training and realizing that we don't have that generally. That's generally where we are as, you know, as a collective race at this point, I believe. That's what we're learning now. We're learning to move into a feeling orientation. It's not an accident that we're in this place, or it's not something that we should blame ourselves for or feel bad about. It's just where we are in terms of our our evolution, you know, the evolution of humanity is at this place where it's really learning to work with feelings.
I would agree with that. I think the masses are really getting it now that, you know, instead of pushing down feelings, we need to become aware and, you know, and experience and, you know, like we were kind of talking about earlier.
Yeah, that's important. There's different levels that you go through as you're learning the process, exactly as you said. But the important thing that you said is, just so people don't get confused with letting it out, with meaning expressing their feelings or taking them out on somebody else or letting somebody else know how you feel, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about something that's much more sophisticated. It's going inside yourself and just being with these feelings in a certain way that allows them to clear. And it's just that recognition that you extend to yourself with a kind of an unconditional acceptance, just being with yourself. And that acceptance is really the same as self-love. That's what I see as what loving yourself really means. It's extending that kind of acceptance to yourself to be wherever you are, whether it's in a happy place or a painful place. And as long as you can be where you are in the moment, surrendering to the moment, just being with an experience, feeling it, watching it, making it part of yourself, then you don't suppress feelings, you release feelings that have been suppressed, and you move on. You don't stagnate, you don't trap yourself into any one particular place.
Thanks once again for being on the show, John.
Sure, I've really enjoyed being here.
Thank you. I enjoyed having you. This is one of those nights that I wish it was a 2-hour show. I've got a thousand things I want to ask you.
Sure.
So, could you, you talk about, like, breath work and things, you know, That seems to be one of the areas that you mention a lot throughout your book, is doing breath work and body work to integrate, you know, and to get in the process of our emotions.
Right. That was one of the really important connections to the tools of the East that I found so helpful when I put the two, East and West, together. Because emotions occur in the body, and often people are not really even aware of that, but as the emotions occur in the body and they become blocked, that's also the place where they become held. They become trapped in the chakras and also in the muscles, and really become part of the armoring in any part of the body. So working with the body can be a very important way to accomplish a number of things. First of all, it's a great way to get into the moment, because the body is inherently in the moment rather than in the mind and that thinking, looking forward or looking into the past. So if you come into the body, into body consciousness, you're training yourself to come into the body, and you start automatically contacting those feelings that are in the body, both the ones that are happening right now and the ones that may have been suppressed some time in the past and are still being held. And then if you start incorporating just some basic gentle breath work practices, what the breath does is start to bring in some powerful energy that starts to release this trapped psychic negativity that we call feelings and emotions in the body. If you use the breath for this purpose, and these feelings then start jumping into your consciousness as you're actually using the breath. So using the breath releases the feelings. They come into your consciousness. You then process the feelings, which means just being with them and observing a few simple steps, and allowing the feelings to be released, for the energy of the feelings to be released just through your awareness of them. So working with the body becomes a very practical and powerful approach to actually implementing this kind of emotional releasing that we're talking about.